Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just come to you and lift up this day. Lord, you said where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in their midst. So we're gathering today, two or more. We know you're here because you are faithful and true to your word. Lord, we bless you. We exalt your name. You said if we lift up your name, you will draw men unto you. Today, I want to lift up the name of Yeshua, and I thank you for drawing people to you. Blessed be your holy name. We are in a blood covenant with you, Lord, and you said if we repent, you are faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if there's anything that we've said or done that is displeasing to you, that doesn't line up with your ways, that you are not happy with, that you didn't like, we repent, Lord. Forgive us. Forgive us. And Lord, we choose to forgive others because you said if we don't forgive others, you can't forgive us. So right now, we lift up all those who have trespassed against us, who have done things to upset us, to make themselves our enemies. And we bless our enemies. We don't curse them. We forgive them. We tear up the little notes and we give them to you for you to judge, for you to deal with as you see fit. We don't hold anything against anybody. We choose today. We're making an active choice to forgive others and to release them from any debt or responsibility towards us and give them to you. You said, because we are in a blood covenant, our enemies are your enemies. And your enemies should be our enemies. We want to hate what you hate and love what you love because we are in a blood covenant. So Lord, we just turn our enemies and all those who've done us evil and harm, we turn them over to you and we bless them and we say, may they come to the saving knowledge of Yeshua HaMashiach, because it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we bless them with salvation, knowledge of the one true God. In the name of Yeshua. So now we are going to do a little worship and sing to the Lord from our heart. We're going to worship him in spirit and truth. And we'll be back with the message here shortly. Wow. I really feel the presence of the Lord here today. We had awesome worship. We sang this song, Be My Center. And Yeshua is our center. He's our source. He's our everything. And today, I feel led to have communion. So if you would like to take communion with us, I'm going to give a minute and pray while you get your elements. So I'm going to give a few minutes to get your elements, a cracker and some grape juice, or if you drink wine, you can use wine. So go and get your elements and be in an attitude of prayer. If you know the Lord Yeshua, if you've given your life to him, you've repented and been baptized and received the gift of the Holy Spirit, then you can take communion. Here at Lots of Love Ministries, we believe in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if you've done that, get your elements and participate with us. And let's take communion together. Hula basitro ko shandara babasi. Satara kapasitro ko shandara basi. Satara kapasi. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And as you're getting your elements and preparing your hearts, just repent. If you haven't already, repent and make yourself right with the Lord. He is faithful and just, remember? And he will forgive you and wash away your sin. And I repent. And if you're listening to this and you know me and you are in my life, in my circle, if I've said or done anything this past week to offend you or upset you or hurt you, I apologize. I repent. And I ask that you forgive me. And anyone who's done us harm, we have forgiven and released unto the Lord. And so I want to remind everybody what the scripture says, that on the night that he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples. And he said, this is my body broken for you. He was telling them what was to happen shortly. He would be beaten. He would be taken to stripes and his body would be broken for our healing. They say 39 stripes, and there's 39 categories of disease in the world. One stripe for each category. He paid the full price for whatever you are dealing with today in your body, in your mind, in your soul. We pray for healing. And as we take this bread, which is the children's bread, healing is the children's bread. We receive the healing. Remember what Yeshua said and did and the sacrifice on the cross. And we eat this in remembrance of that and to receive that healing and that life into our bodies, into our minds, and to our spirits in Jesus' name. Go ahead and eat. Jesus. And also at this time, he took the cup and he said, this is my blood covenant, a new covenant that I'm making with you tonight. Speaking of the blood he would shed to wash our sins away, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as we take this cup, if there's anything in us that shouldn't be there, we give it to the Lord and we ask, we say, wash it away by your precious blood. And we drink life and newness and participate in the blood covenant through this cup and say, yes, we believe in the blood covenant. We are so thankful for the blood covenant. We also sang a song during worship that God gave me that I actually wrote about the blood covenant. And he's daily showing me all that the covenant means. The precious blood covenant. It means so much. Salvation and healing are just the beginning. There's so much more. So as we drink this cup, we receive salvation, healing, and so much more. We declare it once again that we belong to Yeshua and we are in a blood covenant because he died on the cross and shed precious blood. Hallelujah. Thank you that you also rose again, Lord Jesus. And that's what makes this blood covenant so powerful to us today. You didn't stay dead. And because you rose again, we also can live again. Pour life into us today. In the name of Yeshua. Go ahead and drink. Wow, aren't you thankful for the blood covenant in Yeshua? Hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah. Today, I'm going to speak on, are you grafted in? Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible of 1995. There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Today, I want to talk to you about the one tree. Our lesson comes from Romans 11. I'm going to read it in the Message version. I just love it, the way it brings it out and makes it a little easier to understand in the Message. So if you want to turn in your Bible and follow along, if you don't have the Message version, you have access to the internet. BibleGateway.com has all these versions, and the Message is one of them. So we're reading Romans 11 in the Message version. Does this mean then that God is so fed up with Israel that I'll have nothing more to do with them? Hardly. Remember that I, the one writing these things, am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, out of the tribe of Benjamin. You can't get much more Semitic than that. So we're not talking about repudiation. God has been too long involved with Israel, has too much invested to simply wash his hands of them. Do you remember that time Elijah was agonizing over the same Israel and cried out in prayer? God, they murdered your prophets. They trashed your altars. I'm the only one left, and now they're after me. And do you remember God's answer? I still have 7,000 who haven't quit. 7,000 are loyal to the finish. It's the same today. There's a fiercely loyal minority still. Not many, perhaps, but probably more than you think. They're holding on, not because of what they think they're going to get out of it, but because they're convinced of God's grace and purpose in choosing them. If they were only thinking of their own immediate self-interest, they would have left long ago. And then what happened? Well, when Israel tried to be right with God on her own, pursuing her own self-interest, she didn't succeed. The chosen ones of God were those who let God pursue his interests in them, and as a result, received his stamp of legitimacy. The self-interest Israel became thick-skinned toward God. Moses and Isaiah both commented on this. Fed up with their quarrelsome, self-centered ways, God blurred their eyes and dulled their ears, shut them in on themselves in a hall of mirrors, and they're there to this day. David was upset about the same thing. I hope they get sick eating self-serving meals, break a leg walking their self-serving ways. I hope they go blind staring in their mirrors, get ulcers from playing at God. Wow, David. He was a little upset there, it sounds like. The next question is, are they down for the count? Are they out of this for good? And the answer is a clear-cut no. Ironically, when they walked out, they left the door open, and the outsiders walked in. But the next thing you know, the Jews were starting to wonder if perhaps they had walked out on a good thing. Now, if their leaving triggered this worldwide coming of non-Jewish outsiders to God's kingdom, Just imagine the effect of their coming back. What a homecoming. But I don't want to go on about them. It's you, the outsiders, that I'm concerned with now. Because my personal assignment is focused on the so-called outsiders. I make as much of this as I can when I'm among my Israelite kin, the so-called insiders, hoping they'll realize what they're missing and want to get in on what God is doing. If their falling out initiated this worldwide coming together, their recovery is going to set off something even better. Mass homecoming. If the first thing the Jews did, even though it was wrong for them, turned out for your good, just think what's going to happen when they get it right. Behind and underneath all this, there is a holy, God-planted, God-tended root. If the primary root of the tree is holy, there's bound to be some holy fruit. Some of the tree's branches were pruned, and you wild olive shoots were grafted in. Yet the fact that you are now fed by that rich and holy root gives you no cause to gloat over the pruned branches. Remember, you aren't feeding the root. The root is feeding you. It's certainly possible to say, other branches were pruned so that I could be grafted in. Well and good. But they were pruned because they were deadwood, no longer connected by belief and commitment to the root. The only reason you're on the tree is because your graft took when you believed, and because you're connected to that belief-nurturing root. So don't get cocky and strut your branch. Be humbly mindful of the root that keeps you lithe and green. If God didn't think twice about taking pruning shears to the natural branches, why would he hesitate over you? He wouldn't give it a second thought. Make sure you stay alert to these qualities of gentle kindness and ruthless severity that exist side by side in God. Ruthless with the deadwood, gentle with the grafted shoot. But don't presume on this gentleness. The moment you become deadwood, it's game over. And don't get to feeling superior to those pruned branches down on the ground. If they don't persist in remaining deadwood, it could very well get grafted back in. God can do that. He can perform miracle grafts. Why, if he could graft you, branches cut from a tree out in the wild, into an orchard tree, he certainly isn't going to have any trouble grafting branches back into the tree they grew from in the first place. Just be glad you're in the tree and hope for the best for the others. Wow, there's just so much in this chapter. Let me walk through a bit of it and explain some things. First, you will see that Paul is talking about a cultivated orchard tree that represents the nation of Israel and a wild olive tree that represents Gentiles. Gentiles are everyone who is not natural Israel. He also mentions a root. The root nourishes the cultivated orchard tree. That root is Yeshua. Paul uses the term branches. Some are pruned. Some are grafted in. The terms insider and outsider are used here also by the translators. The original branches on the cultivated orchard tree are the Jews, the nation of Israel. The outsiders are the branches on the wild olive tree, known as Gentiles. Please note that the cultivated orchard tree representing Israel is the tree that branches are pruned from and grafted into. This speaks of Jews who reject Messiah, Yeshua, will be pruned or cut out of the tree. Those Gentiles who accept Messiah, Yeshua, will be grafted in. If pruned branches, Jews who rejected Yeshua, change their mind, repent, and are baptized, they get grafted back into the tree. Gentiles grafted in who stop believing Yeshua are pruned. Please note, there's only one tree that represents Israel. Israel is the bride of Christ. Israel has not been replaced. It was made possible for everyone to be a part of Israel. It isn't even about being Jew or Gentile anymore. It's about, are you part of Israel? Have you been grafted into the tree? Galatians 3:28-29 NASB says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise." This chapter explains that keeping the law does not make us part of the tree, but faith in Yeshua, the kind of belief and faith that leads us to repent and be baptized, is not by works, lest any man boast, but a free gift of God that is received through the kind of belief that leads us to repent and be baptized. Then we are grafted into the tree of Israel and are nourished by the root, who is Yeshua. As long as we remain connected to Yeshua, we will bear good fruit. The more good fruit we bear, the more people will see that we are connected to the Messiah, who is Yeshua, and are part of Israel. As a part of Israel, we are partakers of the promises made to Abraham. And through our faith in Yeshua, we are children of Israel. To be part of the tree, one must believe in Yeshua and accept him as their Messiah. It doesn't matter if you are of Jewish DNA or not. It doesn't matter if you are rich or poor, free or slave, male or female. The only thing that matters is what you believe about Yeshua and whether or not you accept or reject him. As for those who are born a part of Israel, it is the same for them. They will be removed from Israel if they reject their Messiah, Yeshua. But like Paul, who was Saul, if they see the light and accept Messiah Yeshua, then they are grafted back in and once again become part of Israel. With that kind of experience, I think Paul, who was Saul, knows what he's talking about here. He was the Jew of Jews. Remember, he was so zealous for Israel and the Jewish faith and for God. He was being raised up to be the next high priest. And then he saw the light, literally, and was blinded by the light, literally. And then Yeshua revealed himself to Saul, and Paul repented and accepted Messiah Yeshua and became the apostle to the Gentiles. So he knows what he's talking about here. I want to lay all this out on the table as clearly as I can, friends. This is complicated. It would be easy to misinterpret what's going on and arrogantly assume that you're royalty and they're just rabble out on their ears for good. But that's not it at all. This hardness on the part of insider Israel toward God is temporary. Its effect is to open things up to all the outsiders so that we end up with a full house. Before it's all over, there will be a complete Israel. As it is written, a champion will stride down from the mountain of Zion. He'll clean house in Jacob. And this is my commitment to my people, removal of their sins. From your point of view, as you hear and embrace the good news of the message, it looks like the Jews are God's enemies. But look at from the long-range perspective of God's overall purpose. They remain God's oldest friends. God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty, never canceled, never rescinded. There was a time not so long ago when you were on the outs with God. But then the Jews slammed the door on him and things opened up for you. Now they are on the outs. But with the door held wide open for you, they have a way back in. In one way or another, God makes sure that we all experience what it means to be outside so that he can personally open the door and welcome us back in. There is one verse in this passage I want to point out. God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty, never canceled, never rescinded. Verse 29 in the NASB says the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. This verse is often used in context of the fivefold ministry gifts and the gifts of the Spirit. Here in Romans 11, it is clear that the gifts and callings are much more inclusive and are related to our position as part of Israel. By saying, from the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. We understand that Israel is forever. So we put it in context. It means a lot more than what people think it means. I'm sure that the fivefold gifts and the gifts of the Spirit fall in this category. They're not going to be taken away from us. But there's so much more to this. We understand by this statement that Israel is forever. Amen. To be part of Israel, explained here in Romans 11, as being grafted into the cultivated orchard tree, we believe in Messiah Yeshua. We accept him as our Lord and Savior, the source of all that we have or need is Yeshua. It doesn't matter if we have Jewish DNA or not. Yeshua is all that matters. And if we are part of the tree, we will bear good fruit if we learn and keep his commandments. So here we see that Israel is forever, and we can be part of that forever Israel by being grafted in. And Yeshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments in John 14:15. And in Hebrews 5:9, we are told, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Yeshua is our source. He's the root of the tree that nurtures all who are in the tree, whether natural Jewish people or Gentiles who were grafted in. We're all in the one tree of Israel. After Yeshua died and rose again, just before going back to heaven, Yeshua told his disciples in Matthew 28:19-20, and I'm reading this from the NASB 1995, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This verse alone has so much in it, which I will not go into today. I just want you to take note that Yeshua told them to teach all to observe all that he had commanded them. So what is it that we are to observe? Well, that's a lesson for another day. Today, I just wanted to help you understand that Israel is forever, and we are all part of Israel, entitled to all the promises and subject to all the responsibilities of kingdom citizens, if we accept Yeshua as our Lord and Savior. If you have not yet accepted Yeshua, why not make a commitment today to be grafted in? Repent and get baptized in the name of Yeshua and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Find a church in your area that believes in Acts 2:38 and let your belief be one that leads to being born again. If you need help with this, please contact me through my email, lotsofloveministries@yahoo.com. I would love to help you get grafted into the tree. So now we're going to have like a Q&A or a little discussion. I want to see if anybody has any questions. If you are listening to this later and you have questions, please email me to your questions. Once again, my email is lotsofloveministries@yahoo.com. So feel free to email me your comments or questions about this subject or any other subject. I would love to answer your questions. And we have people in the house here. I want to see if they have any comments or questions. So does anybody have anything they want to say? Okay, so the question, it was that there's a scripture that says, a good tree bears good fruit and a bad tree bears bad fruit. So if we're grafted into the good tree, because the root is Yeshua, and there's nothing bad in him, and we produce bad fruit, does that mean that we're from a bad tree? And can God heal us? I believe that that's where it talks about if you become deadwood, you get pruned out. So if you get grafted in, you start well, and then you start producing bad fruit. That means that you've forgotten who you are. And I believe that God does heal you, and he will prune you first on an individual level before removing you from the tree and help you bring you back to that place where you can bear good fruit again. But we don't want to become dead wood. So the question really is, what is good fruit and what is bad fruit? And that was a discussion that I was going to teach on at a future date and share, what does good fruit and bad fruit look like? And how can we bear good fruit? Because if we're grafted into a good tree, nurtured by the root of Yeshua, then we should be bearing good fruit. So are we truly grafted in if we're bearing bad fruit? It doesn't mean that once we're grafted in, we don't bear occasional bad fruit because we've forgotten who we are. And there's a whole lesson on that. And that did bring it out in the lesson that he said that if you become dead wood, you'll be cut out. Natural Jews are dead, become dead wood and are cut out of the one tree. So how about you who were grafted in from a wild olive tree? If you become dead wood, then you're going to be pruned out of the tree as well. There's so much in this subject. I just kind of touched on it a bit today. As I was doing my study, the scripture was connecting this dot to that dot. I mean, the whole scripture is connected. And we just could go really, really deep into this discussion. And so I was trying to keep it focused on one aspect, and that is that Israel is forever, and if you're grafted in, you are part of Israel, and your natural heritage DNA in the natural is not the issue. And if you are Israel, then you have access to all the promises and blessings of Abraham, because you're a child of Abraham by faith. So you enter into all those promises. But there's also responsibilities. Israel was created to teach the nations about God. So as you enter in to your position as part of Israel, your job is also to teach those around you in your sphere of influence about God and bring his kingdom to earth. And that's the bearing good fruit. When you bear good fruit, you're advancing the kingdom of God, destroying the works of the enemy, healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, discipling nations, discipling everybody that you are leading to the Lord. And we are grafted in by accepting Yeshua as our Messiah. And it doesn't matter if you're male or female, rich or poor, a slave or a free person, or even if you're a Jew or Gentile, everyone can be grafted into the one tree of Israel. And that's really the point I wanted to bring out, is that there's one tree and we're all Israel. So if you say, well, I'm not Jewish, so I don't have to keep the law, then really what you're saying is, I'm not grafted into the tree. Because Yeshua is the one tree. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes up to the Father through him. If you're born Jewish or whether you're born Gentile, that's not the point. We all have to be grafted into the tree or be grafted out or be pruned as deadwood. And the deadwood is thrown into the fire. And so that's the point I want to try to help you to understand, that you have responsibilities as well as promises as a member of Israel, member of the kingdom, as part of the bride of Christ, the one body, through one spirit. And so we go into more of that. And as part of that, I believe, is keeping the feasts of the Lord. And people want to say, well, I'm not Jewish, so I don't have to keep the feasts. Well, you don't have to do anything. And I wrote a book called Choices. It's in the final editing stage right now. But when it becomes available, you can get it and read. And it teaches all about this. We all have choices to make. And we can make any choice we want. We have free will. You can make bad choices or you can make good choices. That's not the point. You don't have to keep the feast. No, you don't. But there's a blessing that comes with it, because the feasts are the appointed times. And when you meet with the appointed times, with meet with God during these appointed times, there's a blessing associated with that. So don't you want the blessings? So if you want to say, I'm not Jewish, I don't have to keep the feast, well, that's your choice. But you're missing out on so many blessings. And in April, it's Passover, and we will be keeping Passover. And I will be teaching on Passover. And I know God shows up every Passover, and I learn more and more about it. And really, the feasts are my thing that I'm just big on, because they're such a blessing, and you learn so much about God's prophetic plan for salvation, which isn't that what it's all about to begin with, is salvation? We want to be born again and become part of the kingdom of God, be grafted into the one tree, and receive the blessings and the promises of God in our lives. And so that's what it's all about. One ministry that teaches really well on this that I really love is Kurt Landry Ministries. If you can look them up and follow them, Rabbi Kurt Landry, he does such an excellent job of teaching the concepts and principles of keeping the feast and the blessing of it, and why we should do it. You know, it's not that we have to. It may not even be a salvation issue, but everything doesn't have to be a salvation issue to do. Salvation is just the beginning. It's you walking in the door. It's you getting grafted in. So once you're grafted in, we're to bear good fruit. Once you walk in the door of the kingdom, there's responsibilities, things we have to do in the kingdom. So many people want to stop at the entry, just enter in and get their ticket to ride, their fire insurance papers. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. Yeshua taught his disciples, everywhere you go, do these things. Heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and let them know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that the kingdom has come. And this is what the kingdom looks like, destroying the works of the enemy and advancing the kingdom. He said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't say, pray, Lord, let me be saved and go to heaven. Let me escape the rapture. Let me escape the tribulation and be raptured out of the earth. He didn't pray that. We're supposed to be about the Father's business in the earth, which I taught about the end times last week. So if you haven't heard that one, go on my website, lotsofloveministries.com, under audio teachings, and listen to that lesson. We're not to be looking to escape the tribulation. That's not the focus. We will be raptured. We will be caught up and be with the Lord forever. But in the meantime, we'll be about the Father's business. We're grafted into the tree. We're part of Israel. We have promises, but we also have responsibilities. So that's the one thing I wanted to bring out today, is that as a born-again believer, you are part of Israel. And as part of Israel, you have both promises and responsibilities. Amen? So I hope this has helped you to understand who you are in Yeshua, that you're part of Israel with blessings, promises, and responsibilities. So until next time, Shalom.